Thank you, Doug. I think we all need to be reminded that God has called every one of us to follow Him. And we have to count the cost of following Jesus. It's a call that comes, and we welcome the journey, at least as far as its final destination. But are we prepared for where He leads us between now and the time that we arrive in heaven and spend the rest of eternity with Him? So that period of time is what I'd like for us to talk about today as we look at the cost of following Jesus. And I want to thank the praise team for reading a portion of our scripture that would not fit into the program or the bulletin this morning. But I'm going to pick it up in the middle of that story, or at the climax of that story, where that young man came to Jesus asking Him what he must do to inherit eternal life. What must he do to spend eternity in heaven? And Jesus' answer is quite surprising to us, because both challenges that Jesus made to this man catch us off guard. Of course, the first challenge that he made was to this man's religious practices and whether or not he had kept the commandments. Now, it is notable that Jesus did not list the entire listing of commandments, at least what we know as the Ten Commandments. Jesus only mentioned those that involved our interactions with other people. And this young man apparently very, very sincerely told Jesus that he had kept those commandments from the time he was a very little boy, that he'd been brought up observing those rules, observing those principles in his life, and he had made that a part of his lifestyle, which was commendable. And notice Jesus' response to that answer, at least the way Mark gives us the detail, and we know that Mark's account was based on Peter's eyewitness account of what happened here. So from the words of an eyewitness, it says in verse 21 of Mark chapter 10, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him," and here's the second challenge, "you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth, for rich people, to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Lord, we ask you to bless this scripture today. Lord, may we hear Jesus' words echoing down through the centuries, speaking directly into our heart through the Holy Spirit whenever he challenges us to come, follow me. Lord, I pray that you would help us be aware of what a challenge, of what a loaded question that is. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to carefully consider the path that we have chosen. In Jesus' name, amen. When I began looking at this passage or this particular part of the cost of sacrifice, the price of your sacrifice, I realized that there was a lot in the Scripture that dealt with this particular topic, and I had trouble choosing which one of the encounters that Jesus had with potential followers that I would focus on first. And I'm finding that there are so many different times whenever Jesus told people, either come and follow me, or he had people come up to him and said, what must I do to follow you and be a part of your kingdom? And Jesus' answers very often catch us by surprise. You know, we often believe that it's an easy thing, it's an easy choice to make to follow Jesus. And certainly it is an easy thing for us to do to accept his forgiveness. We don't have to do anything per se. All we have to do is recognize our own sinfulness and how guilty we are before God, and then confess to him our sins and to bow down before him as the Savior who is willing to forgive us of those sins because of his blood on the cross. And we know there is full pardon and forgiveness of our sins. That's the easy part. Jesus has already done the hard part of that transaction. He paid the penalty. He suffered your eternity in hell in those 2 hours that he hung on the cross and was tortured and was under the wrath of God, under the punishment for our sins. He suffered all of our eternities in hell in that very moment. So the easy part is ours. But that's not all there is to being a disciple of Christ. There's a hard part. And that is following in Jesus' footsteps, just like his disciples did. And when Jesus called his disciples, he called them to come away from certain things that were the better part of their lives. I will probably in future Sundays talk about James and John and even Andrew and Peter, who left their father's fishing business and left the nets behind, and Jesus said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, you can't really feed a family typically by not catching fish and catching human fish. Peter's probably scratching his head, or John or James are scratching their head and say, how are we going to feed our family? How are we going to keep things going here? I mean, this is only the only profession we know. You know, we're going to have to leave it all behind us. And speaking of family, there's Zebedee over there. I mean, he's the boss right now. We're going to have to walk away from our own father or from the president of this company we've been working for as commercial fishermen. But Jesus called them to come, follow him. And they did. But not everyone did. Some people recognized the cost up front. And some people said, like this young man, by their very actions, they said, no, I'm not willing to leave all that behind. So where does that leave us? What have you sacrificed to follow Jesus? What have you given up? Now, I want to present a few questions to you today, and I invite you to fill in the blanks on the outline, but I also invite you to take it home and to pray over how to answer these questions personally. How will you answer these questions? It's not a simple fill in the blank. It's not a yes or no or true or false. It's a question that addresses everything. I mean everything in your life. Everything about you. It will touch if you truly answer these questions. What is Jesus calling you to leave behind. What is he calling you to leave behind? You know, a lot of folks think, well, I can follow Jesus and not really change anything. I can just stay where I am. You know, I'm pretty contented right here where I am. I'm going to stay here in the community, and I'm going to profess faith in Christ, and I'm going to go to church every Sunday, and, you know, I'll throw some money in the offering plate, and I'll just keep this thing, Christian thing, kind of at an arm's length. There's an awful lot of people that have done that. And they seem to be successful in doing that. But keep in mind that Jesus was answering the rich young man's question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Here is a man who perhaps had already inherited much of the world's wealth. He was rolling in the dough. He had great possessions. And in Jesus' day, and in our day as well, that was considered a sign that God had blessed him. He was already experiencing God's material blessings, but he felt there was something lacking. He wasn't sure what would happen to all this earthly blessing whenever he died and faced eternity. Now, you know as well as I do the old cliche, you can't take it with you. That's true. I mean, it is absolutely true. We say it quite frequently because it's a true statement. I've worked with a lot of funeral directors, particularly the two here in this town, and neither one of those guys here, either at Piles or Merman and Wilson's, has a hearse with a trailer hitch on the back that they can hook a U-Haul trailer up and take it out to the cemetery and take the guy's possessions with them. Now, some folks have been kind of, you know, thinking maybe they could do something like that. But I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And I've never seen anyone, now they've started this practice, which I think is a little odd, of having the little drawers and the little display things in the casket that they can pull out a little drawer and put in little keepsakes or mementos to go to the cemetery and be buried. But I haven't ever seen any family pull all the guy's money out of the bank and put it into that little drawer. If I were them, I would just go and I'd just write a check and put it in that little drawer and just, you know, let that check go wherever it goes. It's supposed to be funny there, you folks. There's an old joke that goes along that same line, but the truth is, earthly blessings, earthly material goods don't do us anything. Don't do anything for us when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, it's not going to really matter what we owned here on earth. In fact, Jesus said, based on the example of this young man who turned away and went away sad and brokenhearted because he wasn't willing to part with what he had on this earth in order to gain treasure in heaven, Jesus said, it's hard, very, very difficult for a rich person to go to heaven, to enter into my kingdom. And the disciples were taken back by that. They said, well, Lord, we thought that was a sign of God's blessing. Jesus said, no. It's a hindrance. It's a burden, actually. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, camels were beasts of burden. They were the U-Hauls of Jesus' day. I mean, if you had a lot of stuff, you had a great big camel to carry it all around for you. I mean, you've outgrown the donkey level. You know, you have to have multiple donkeys, and you can have one or two camels and could carry all of your gold and all of your clothing and all the precious things that you own. You want to go from one place to the other? That's what a camel's good for. But if in some of that fancy clothing you happen to get a tear and you need to maybe sew some material back together, maybe you have a nice camel hair sweater, sequin studded, you know, kind of like Porter Wagner, you know, and I'm talking to some of you people know who that is. Not everybody would, but he had everything he wore on stage was pretty glittery. But let's say you had something really expensive like that. It was made out of camel hair, and you thought, well, I've got two or three camels right here. And you try to thread that camel through the needle to fix your garment. It ain't going to work, folks. You know it. I know it. Jesus sounds absurd when he says it. You can no more, it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, you can try to explain that away. You can try to say, oh, he was talking about something else. He was talking about a gate in Jerusalem, or he was talking about a camel having a needle, or he was talking about a piece of rope or whatever. It doesn't matter. The point he was making is it's hard. And you know what? If you go home after church today and open up your closet, you have just as many clothes as this rich young man probably had. Some of you, now, not all of you, but some of you may be able to get online and check your bank account or your IRA or your retirement fund. And compared to what this young man have, you may have just as much. You have enough to take care of you, to meet your needs. Most of us have a pantry that's we could eat on for several days, maybe weeks. Sarah and I, we look at our freezer, we look at our pantry, and we think, man, we've got so much food. We could be snowed in for 2 months and probably not starve to death. We're blessed, folks. We are rich people. Whether you say you are or not, you are. You have been. Well, that's not extremely desirable spiritually. Because guess what? We fit in the camel category now. It makes it harder for us to get to heaven because we have a good bank account. Or because we have a closet full of clothes, or a pantry full of food, or two cars in the garage that are fairly new and both of them run. We are the rich young man who comes to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, have you lived right? Well, sure, I've lived right. I was raised in this church, and boy, this church used to be strict. We didn't do anything. We didn't go to the movies, we didn't dance, we didn't smoke, we didn't chew, we didn't do any of that stuff. All of our life we've kept all the rules. And Jesus said, what about your bank account? What about your cars? What about your clothing? You willing to give that up? You willing to leave that behind? Oh, I know, you can say, well, he's never told me that. If he did, what would your answer be? What is Jesus calling you to leave behind? It may be none of those things. It may be something as everyday, as familiarity. It may be small town living or country life. It may be being close to all your family and friends. You know, whenever God called Sarah and I into ministry, and I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, it was just a given in our minds at that time, and it's only been as I've grown older that I've struggled with it more. But I remember going and visiting Larry Clyatt at Ina Church whenever we were out raising funds to go to Brazil that summer after we graduated from college. We didn't know where we would be after Brazil. We didn't have a place of ministry. And Larry and Peggy, we were sitting at their kitchen table, and he said, he or Peggy one said, well, where do you all think you're going to go after you get back from Brazil? And we said, we don't know. They said, well, are you going to try to stay here in Illinois? And we said, well, if God leads us here, we'll go here. Wherever God leads us, we'll go. Wherever, it doesn't matter. And I remember them reacting kind of in surprise. Or I remember them saying, well, bless your heart. Most people don't feel that way. And it made me think, how many of us are willing to go wherever God wants us to go? We sing, wherever he leads, I'll follow. Wherever he tells me to go, I'll go. As long as it's within a 50-mile radius of Johnston City. As long as we don't have to move away from our kids or our grandkids or our parents. As long as we don't have to learn another language. As long as we don't have to dip too far into our bank account. Folks, Jesus doesn't accept our conditions. He expects us to follow Him unilaterally. In other words, without any other strings attached. So whatever strings we have attached when Jesus calls us, we have to let Him cut those strings or break free from those strings. And it doesn't matter whether there are strings attached to our family. It doesn't matter whether there are strings attached to our hometown. It doesn't matter whether there are strings attached to our finances or our material possessions. We have to let Jesus, we just hand Him whatever those strings are attached to. And they're attached to our hearts, typically. We just hand Him our hearts. And guess what? He gets to pull whatever strings He wants. That's His business. He can pull whatever strings He wants. But He calls us to leave something. Whatever it is depends on the individual and God's plan for that individual life. But He calls us to leave it behind. So what makes it so difficult to follow Jesus? Well, I think I've already answered that question. But you have to fill in the blank. And you have to answer it for yourself. What is it in my life that I would not be willing to give up freely or easily? What is so hard about it? Well, with Jesus and the disciples, He said, you might have to leave your house. You might have to leave your brother or sister or mother or father or children or lands, your property. You might have to leave that for my sake and for the gospel. That's hard. I don't mince any words. It's just hard. It's just hard to surrender all that because many of those things have strong attachments to our hearts. And I think that's what's become more difficult for me as I've grown older. I mean, whenever we were towing three preschoolers around the country and moving from North Carolina to Oklahoma to Indiana back to Illinois, I mean, it wasn't that big a deal for us to pack everything up in the back of a U-Haul truck and hook the car on the back and we'd drive there. Sarah might be 7 or 8 months pregnant, but so what? We're just going because God's opened another door for us. But it gets harder because sooner or later it doesn't all fit in one truck. And sooner or later those kids are not going to go with you. They're going to stay 200 miles away. And sooner or later, those kids are going to start having grandkids. And you're going to think, oh man, I wish they lived closer. And I pray, God, please impress upon them to move to Southern Illinois and help us with this ministry. I mean, I have friends who have kids that are involved in ministry in their local church. I think, couldn't that happen here? I mean, Jesse could play the piano, and Hannah could do drama, and Aaron could cook barbecue and feed the whole community, and I just think, God, I got it all worked out. And that little Penelope Irene, oh, she's going to be spoiled rotten by Grandma and Grandpa. Probably not going to happen. Not like that, anyway. That's why it's difficult. And I'll admit to you, it gets harder and harder. The more we live in this world, we accumulate more on the back of our camel, and we have more little donkeys and camels following along behind us, and we're not so sure they're going to come along with us. So it makes it very difficult. But Jesus said, don't worry. You're going to receive much more than you give. Whatever you surrender to me, I'm going to multiply it. And I'm going to, 100 times over, I'm going to give you. If you leave your children, I'll give you more children. If you leave your parents, I'll give you all kinds of mothers and fathers. After all, Jesus did this. He left His mother and His brothers and His sisters. He left them back in Nazareth. When they came to follow, when they came to collect Him and take Him back to Galilee, and because they thought He was crazy doing all these things He was doing, He said, who is my mother and father and brothers and sisters? Those who obey my commandments, those who follow me. He had a multitude of brothers and sisters, and I do too. I have brothers and sisters everywhere God has led us. I have mothers. I have fathers. People that I can call and I can talk to, and I can get some great advice, just like a father would give me, a good father. But he says, whatever you've given up, you're going to get back, multiplied over and over again. You're going to get it back. And it's not just going to be in heaven. Some of it's going to be in this world. But there's going to be a little catch here. And some of the Gospels don't put this word in. But he said, you're going to get all the good stuff here. But there's going to be some persecution. In fact, there might be a lot of persecution. But that doesn't matter. When you get to heaven, when you get to my kingdom, you're not going to remember a thing about that. In fact, whenever you're going through it, you are going to count it all joy because you are suffering for me, for my sake. And you are going to say, I am so grateful that I am counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. We might be like Peter, and we might say, whenever they say, we're going to crucify you just like we did your Savior, your so-called Lord, we're going to crucify you on a cross. And Peter said, oh, no, please. I'm not worthy to be lifted up to the sky like Jesus did with my head hanging tall on that cross, looking down on the world. I'm not worthy of that. Please crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be like my Lord. Are you willing to be crucified at all, right side up or upside down? Jesus said, if you follow me, you have to take up your cross. Not a little gold necklace around our neck. Not a little wall decoration we hang over our door. Not a little symbol we put on our business cards. But a cross, a real, live, old, rugged, if you want to call it that, hard, rough, hurtful cross, a execution device. If Jesus had been in our generation, he might have said, you're going to have to take up your electric chair and follow me. You're going to have to take up your gas chamber and follow me. You're going to have to take up your lethal injection and follow me. You're going to have to crucify the old man, because I am calling you to be my disciple, my follower. I have walked this path to the cross. Now it's your turn. And whatever you leave behind, don't look back. Don't put your hand to the plow and turn around and see, oh, I've left my family. Oh, I've left my house. Oh, I've left my hometown. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on the cross, because that is your destination. The glory of the cross is what we will all go in when we enter into God's kingdom. We will be lifted up on the cross of Christ. And we will enter into his presence, knowing that he gave his all for us, and we did the same for him. We didn't have near as much to offer, but what we had, we surrendered it. Now it's your turn. Answer those questions in your life. Maybe you need to come and pray at the altar and lay something down. It's time for a sacrifice. It's time to give it up for the one who gave his all. Don't hold back. Don't leave this place sorrowful and say, I'd rather have everything I've got than to give up anything that's dear to me right now, Jesus needs to be the dearest thing to you. And if he doesn't eclipse everything else in your life, I question whether you are truly his disciple or not. And if you're not, I invite you to come and answer the call to follow him.